The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. All right, y'all, welcome back to the Fearless Podcast. This is episode 37.
Episode 37, and coming at y'all with a gloomy, rainy day here in Northeast Texas, and we are getting loads of water.
So we've already gotten about 9 to 10 inches of rain, which is a lot for us
within like 3 days,
and
two, 3 days.
So the ground is incredibly swampy,
schmooshy. Yeah.
So it's created some issues on the farm here.
Yeah.
We were trying to do an excavator project that's kind of black ops and whatnot. So it's not anything that we can talk about.
But, no, but there was a video clip that I took and I sent it over to the natives about that.
We'll see. Yeah. So if you are a native, so you get to be on the in the cool club.
Yeah.
On the inside track.
Yeah. There's a new Telegram channel over there that you get access to when you are a native, and we share all types of cool stuff.
Yeah, we share black ops projects that are unseen to the rest of the social medias,
and there you go,
the likes and the such as's.
But anyway, so let's get into farm news. Farm news: loads of rain. Went we were going to a job and pulled up to backed up to our little work trailer, got it all hooked up and everything like this. When I bought the 350, it's two wheel drive. It's my first ever two wheel drive, truck that I've ever bought. The other one, I got from dad, and that one was a four wheel drive F-150. Still have that one. Love that thing so much. It has four wheel, low and high. And, it has, even though it's automatic transmission, Ford was smart, and you can still put it in first gear and second gear, which is awesome. So you go into granny low and it's awesome. It'll creep through anything. But sadly, the 350 doesn't have that. It does have rear lockers, but anyway, so I went ahead, backed it up and put that box trailer on there, and it sank all the way down to the hitch.
Oh, to the hitch.
Yeah, nice. To the hitch. Yeah, it was just a drop ball hitch. So anyway, T-posts and some other things, I got it out. And then it got stuck like three times in a row. I mean, it was swampy.
Soupy, yeah.
And anyway, so I got that. I got the truck finally out. I detached the trailer. I pulled it up back to the front of the house. Then I got the buggy, actually, which is our UTV. And that's four-wheel drive. And we put the ball hitch on that, and that thing is so dang light. It went right on over top of the mud, right where the truck was. I hooked it up to that box trailer, and it pulled it right on out. Didn't even slip.
That's that raw, unadulterated power of
the Polaris. Yeah. So anyway, so that was awesome. Yeah. But we survived the freeze.
And I have a newer F-150 21 or whatever, you know, and these all aluminum bodies,
yeah,
with the 10 speed automatic. And man, I almost got stuck in our driveway.
When?
And I knew it, in the midst of the rain. I was,
seriously?
When I pulled in, I came down the driveway, and I'm like, I shouldn't park here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, this is
the muddier spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be bad. And sure enough, the next morning, and I even had her in the wet mode, whatever any of that stuff means. None of that stuff works, but I was able to creep out of there. But if I hadn't have been thinking, I gotta strategically do this,
go real
slow, I would have buried it. Yeah. I would have buried it.
Because the second with those street tires, the second you get one spin on there, it's done. Literally. Yeah. Yep. So
she fishtailed a little bit. I got her out. So this rain, we're not complaining. The pond is
complaining.
The pond is to the top of the overflow.
Yeah.
Which
totally
is great.
Full. Yep. The ranch pond's totally full.
If I was more prepared, I would have an overflow tank and be pumping that off. But we're not quite there. Maybe about like 8 more inches. So
yeah, if we got another,
I don't know if it'll happen or not, but
yeah, well, it's awesome. We always, all the ranchers around here, they base all of their cattle purchases and everything off of the amount of rain we get at the beginning of the year, which is crazy. So there was a couple old, well, there was this one guy and he sold off all of his cattle, or a lot of them anyway, while it was still like, it wasn't a drought or anything last year. And all the ranchers were asking him, like, why are you selling off all your cattle? Like, why are you doing this? And he's like, hey, look, we haven't met our annual or like springtime rainfall. And he's like, it's going to, and then we're going to go into the dry months. Yeah, he knew it. Mm-hmm. And dude, he knocked it out of the park. He sold the cattle for a good price when cattle prices were high. So it was good. Yeah. So anyway, always keeping track of that rainfall, especially if you are in the cattle market, especially when you have to buy hay. And you definitely do not want to be caught with your pants down when it is, you know, a drought and then you're trying to buy hay. Yeah. And you got to get it shipped in sometimes and it's like $120 a bale. So, but we were definitely blessed. We got loads of hay this year. We sold off all of our cows pretty much. We only got a couple over there.
Got like four or five.
Yeah. So we're in the cattle buying market right now.
Yeah, we're buyers right now. And now's the best time
which
to
is
buy
great because now's
when people don't want to feed.
Yeah, nobody wants to feed cows through the winter. So you can get them for a pretty good price.
Yeah, we have some good prospects.
And we got plenty of hay.
Plenty of hay and plenty of field.
Yep.
So
yep. Yeah. And then we nailed down a hay deal, a pasture deal with a fellow neighbor, and he is gone like 6 months out of the year or so with his new job. And he was like, hey, if you want to manage this 25 acre pasture, you know, go for it. You know, you're going to, you know, you can fertilize it and cut it. Dude, that pasture is like a super producer. You can cut that thing like three times a year. So it's great. And we get it fertilized with organic rabbit manure. And yeah, it's a good, good producer. And I think that's mainly coastal that comes out of that. Yeah. Coastal with a little bit other.
Yeah. That'll be a moneymaker this year.
Yeah. Big time. That'll, yeah.
And that basically it costs us $35 mm-hmm. a bale to cut it.
Yep.
So we can get large round bales basically for $35.
Yeah.
And
yeah, they'll be big like
600-800 pounders.
No. 1200.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
1,000 to 1,200 pound. Oh, yeah. Wow. Normally, there's a lot of people, you know, like up north, they have those small little ones, like, you know, 600, 800. Down here, we got the, well, they can make the 1,000, 1,200. Okay. Yeah. Yep. But that's it for farm news for me. Anything with you?
No, it's just, it's been wet and cold.
Yeah.
I did get some new cuttings, so I'm getting some.
Hey, you're doing something with Ivy Organics too.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm making a donation every year. They do a fig cutting giveaway. So check out Ivy Organics YouTube channel.
Definitely.
If I remember, I'll put the link down below. But yeah, Charles Malky, Ivy Organics has always been a great supporter of the channel.
Oh, yeah. And we have a discount code too. I'm pretty sure it's Texas10.
Texas10 is our discount
code. 10% off.
So if you're looking for any kind of Ivy Organics, whether it's their tree wash, so they have a great organic pest deterrent tree wash, and it also acts as a sunscreen for your fruit trees, where they have a great organic 5-in-1 fertilizer with mycorrhiza and azomite and all that kind of cool stuff. Check out Ivy Organics for 10% off to Texas 10. But yeah, we're giving LSU Tiger fig cuttings to their fig. They're right over there. I got to actually mail them out. I just cut them. But
that's cool.
Yeah, thank you for remembering that. yeah, so check out Ivy Organics. And if you're over at the Ivy Organics channel, tell Charles at the Texas Boy sent you.
Oh yeah.
Great products, great people.
Awesome.
And we appreciate them. Cool. And we love being part of that giveaway.
Definitely.
And yeah, I think
that's it.
Really it for around the farm.
Awesome. All right, we're gonna go ahead and take our first break. Today's video is brought to you by thetexasboys.com. If you are looking for some raw, unpasteurized honey, go on over to thetexasboys.com, and we sell in all types of different sizes, from 1 pound to 5 pounds. We got creamed honey, all types of good stuff over there. We got bulk tea and a plethora of different teas, from sleepy time tea to matcha tea, all types of cool stuff over there. Then we have our CBD coffee line, and then we have Lion's Mane coffee, and then all types of different yummy flavored coffee, decaf coffee. Go check it out if those are some products that would intrigue you. And then also, if you would want to support what we do here on the farm and our podcast and the YouTube channels that we run, go over and become a native. And also, just a big thank you to all of our natives also that have supported us. It's been a big, big blessing to have just some really faithful people over the years. And now I just revamped the native page, and now there is a new Telegram channel. And it's a private Telegram channel, and it's really cool because we can be more connected, and you get to see a lot of behind the scenes videos, photos, updates, and all types of really neat stuff like that. So go check that out. If you already are a native, I sent all y'all an email. So just check your email. Make sure it didn't get into the spam file. I think around a dozen of y'all clicked on it or so, but just check it out. And I made it really easy. You can just click on the link and it should open right up into Telegram, and you just press join. So anyway, and I think that's it for our first break, y'all.
Yeah. So now we're on to health check. Let me, what's your health check?
My health check is still, oh man, it's always so nice to be like done with sickness. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it's the new world that we live in where it's just like, it's weird. It almost feels weird not to be sick.
Hanger on.
Is that the weird? It's so weird not to be sick. It's like, huh, this is what it's like not to be sick. This is so great, you know? So, yeah, been doing good. Been setting, if y'all don't know, but I had shoulder surgery done twice to my left shoulder, and it's doing amazing. It was a blessing in disguise when it came loose again for the second time, because I started training again after the first surgery. It was clunky still. It was crunchy. So I think the Lord was like, yeah, I think I'm going to let him hurt himself again and have it come loose or whatever, break off a piece of cartilage in there and go ahead and get it fully, you know, fixed up. So my whole entire labrum this time has been reinforced. It was only partially reinforced, but now it's totally reinforced. And my left shoulder is as strong or almost stronger than my right shoulder now, which is great. I'm right on back. I'm actually starting to set some new records actually for my weight training, which is great.
$50,000 man. I got about $50,000 invested in.
Pretty much between my broken leg and my shoulder.
Oh, I wasn't counting the leg.
Oh, that's not the leg, actually.
I got about, let's see.
What is that?
50 and then another, I think there was about 35.
30, 40. Yeah, okay. Almost a hundo.
Yeah, you're the hundo.
Well, yeah, I get then birth too. So
what's that?
Then birth. You know, yeah. Hospital bills, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then chiropractor.
We do medical sharing with Samaritan Ministries, and they are blessing y'all. If you've never,
hey, not sponsored, but
medical sharing, Samaritan Ministries is where it's at. We've been with them.
They're amazing people.
We've been with them for 15 years.
Yeah.
And they are an absolute blessing.
Yeah.
And we've been able to share in the needs of other Christians for 15 years now, every month. And it's neat to be able to participate in that and to not be part of the medical industrial complex and not participate in all the things that we object to.
Yeah.
So that's another great advantage of Samaritan Ministries and participating in that.
Yeah.
Go check them out.
And they're pretty reasonable.
Well, compared to health insurance and what they actually cover,
they're super reasonable.
They're way more than reasonable. And you can negotiate your pricing and you can go out of network because there is no network.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that's wrong with the medical industrial complex is resolved better with medical sharing. And if, you know, if we could get the medical industrial complex out of the way, we would have a first tier, first class medical system again in postmodern 2024. I don't think that's going to happen, but the best that we have is an absolutely network free ability to go wherever you want and be reimbursed.
Yeah. You
know, that does require some stewardship and some savings and a lot of different things. This isn't about medical sharing.
No, but it was. It's definitely a
if you game changer. Want a podcast on medical sharing, we can do that.
So. There you go. Or just maybe like a part. You know,
we could do a segment. On medical sharing.
There you go. Great. So comment down below.
I would enjoy that. And we do love and appreciate all your comments. We do have a viewer mail section.
Yes.
This podcast. So kind very of excited cool. about that.
Stay tuned.
But so that's your health check. My health check.
Yeah.
is since I've had the 3.0, 4.0 or whatever derivation of Bitcoin
derivative out of the derivative. Sky
or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, one of the unintended blessings of the carnivore diet was I had always had to take some type of allergy medicine for a post-nasal drip that would always, it would always escalate into a sinus infection. And all growing up and teenager, 20s, 30s, you
lived on that stuff.
I would, if I didn't take some type of antihistamine, it would elevate to sinusitis. And you go to the doctors, oh, this is sinusitis. You know, it's the same thing for like, I mean, I'm 47. It's been this way. Well, started carnivore. Mm-hmm. And when all my inflammation went away, my post-nasal stuff went away too. Mm. Well, ever since this 3.0, 4.0 or whatever, the only way to not renew the sinus infection is to not get it back again every week is to now I'm back on an allergy med. So I am going to try to kick that hopefully. I'm trying to, you know, I'll skip a couple days and immediately the sore throat and everything comes back. So that's kind of like a new development on the health front.
Yep.
Everything else with inflammation's great. Neck and back are great. Shoulders doing really good. My hangs continue to get better. My one arm hangs. I'm getting a killer amount of grip strength. I have a lot more mobility in the left shoulder, but I still don't, you know, I don't know if it'll ever be back to air quotes normal or whatever.
Just because of the bicep.
I do have continuous improvement and hopefully I'm going to be able to get into some type of exercise routine besides just doing inversion. I do inversion sit-ups on my teeter. If any of y'all have never experienced like teeter inversion, one, do not buy a knockoff. I've been there, done that. Mm. And knockoffs are trash.
Yep.
And a teeter is awesome. And inversion,
pay the extra money, inversion save is up.
Incredible. Yeah. And you're only paying like $80 more. So, I mean, like, I feel like such an idiot when, and I tend to do that stuff. I'm such a cheapskate.
Yeah.
And I bought the cheesy inversion
teeter. Now I know where I get it from.
Yeah. And I wish your mother, I wish I could infect your mother with the disease of being a cheapskate.
A cheapskate.
Not a procrastinator, so that's my health check. Still no scurvy.
Awesome.
Still no scurvy.
Hey, also a little bit of a plug for our email list and a reason why you should go ahead and join our email list. First of all, it's free. So there's one. And then also, in our last email that I sent out, I went ahead and I gave them for free
the sinus concoction.
The sinus concoction.
And the sinus concoction is incredible.
So here's the thing.
And it's fabulous.
If you go ahead and sign up for our email list, which you can find it, it's on our website. If you scroll all the way down to the bottom of our website at thetexasboys.com, I'm pretty sure it's in our YouTube description too. But anyway, there's a couple different places to find it. I should post it on our community tab too. But next month, I will go ahead and resend it out whenever I go ahead and do our next email campaign. I'll just go ahead and put it right back in there. So anybody that is new to our email list, you can go ahead and get access to that too for free. But yeah, I think over, we have about 1200 people on the email list.
And we, speaking of that, we also want to welcome our new listeners that came over from Homesteady.
Yeah.
We had, definitely. Austin, we had a great interview. If you haven't heard episode 33 with Austin from Homesteady,
that was awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
The bomb. And episode 33. Go check it out.
But, welcome to our new subscribers coming in from the Homesteady podcast. So that's health check, son.
That's it. All right. Let's just go ahead and jump into the next deal.
So I guess the next deal, I have a couple, a couple articles, and I'm trying to remember where I first saw this. Oh, I first saw this, True Stream Media, great fellow Texans, Aaron and Melissa Dykes. They posted on the Twitter.
You mean the X.
The X. That's a setup, y'all. I'm telling you, that's a setup.
The monkey chip.
So they posted this Telegraph article. And let me take the unblocker off. I'll make sure that this is it.
There you go.
Yeah, this was on. Yes, this was a Telegraph article. I'm viewing this in the Brave browser. They're always coming after the food.
Mm.
And, you know, we have a t-shirt called I am the CO2, right? We're the CO2.
Yep.
What's our t-shirt say?
Yeah.
We are the CO2.
Yeah, right? We are the CO2.
And so not only are we the control group, but we are the CO2. But anyway, we have another great t-shirt. Cows are the solution, not the problem. Mm-hmm. Speaks to this topic. We made these t-shirts and hats a couple years ago, but they're always coming after the food. Mm. Carbon footprint of homegrown food, 5 times greater than those grown conventionally.
What?
Like, so now, crazy. What's really interesting about this article, I think Yahoo posted this article from the Telegraph.
Good old
if
Yahoo.
You go and read the 30 or 40 comments,
it's awesome.
Yeah. Every single comment
literally
expounds that this is exclusively propaganda. Mm. But I want to go a little bit deeper into this and then dive just briefly into the next article that comes from Michigan State. But it speaks to the systemic attack on our food system, even by higher education, postmodern thought. You know, I'll get into it. And this also goes hand in glove with Jordan Peterson had, he was talking about the German farmers protest and the French protest. And he had on, let's listen to this on the Fountain app, y'all. There's a tip. Who did he have on? He had on, and what's that? The lady from Amsterdam, she's pretty young. She's only like 27. She's like an activist. He had her on, and then he had this German. I don't know why in the world where it went in my feed here, because I just listened to it. But so I think that just came out this week as well. And they were, and the point of all of this is that this organized, collected effort. What gets real annoying is when you talk about these topics, at least in America, it gets turned into like Joe Biden did that. Mm-hmm. That's because of the Biden administration. But we're systematically humanity. Average people are being systematically attacked, whether it's the stock market and the redistribution of wealth, whether it's our food system, right? And the purposeful poisoning of our food system, the purposeful toxification of our water supply, all things necessary to sustain life is under attack by the technocratic oligarchy. This isn't like a Western thing, y'all. This is an attack on humanity. Right. And so that's what makes this, attack like bizarre, because there's one thing if it's like, well, this is a Western thing or this happened, you know, and that's what's interesting, because there are other countries that reject pesticides and reject GMOs and reject all these different toxic things. Mm-hmm. And they put prohibitions in place. Yep. But even in these countries, the same attack on the access to their food is happening, which is what, you know, this is actually transcending this whole organic thing, conventional, organic. Now you got this nonsensical, like this can't even, like, regardless of the P data mining, like this doesn't make sense on any level. Right. And it's completely illogical.
Yeah.
Growing your own food in an allotment may not be good for the environment as expected, a study suggests. The carbon footprint of homegrown foods is 5 times greater than produce from conventional agriculture practices, such as rural farms, the data shows. Now, this is what's real interesting about the Telegraph article, because basically what they're focusing on is they're banging on like urban food growing. So so this is like reason number 4,892 to exit the flashpoints and retreat to a rural environment. Like, we haven't, like, not enough people have said that, but they are setting the table to say, oh, but my concrete jungle and you can't, you know, if you grow food outside of your back door or for your neighborhood, you know, that's going to emit more CO2 than carrots grown in Mexico that we truck up here with diesel trucks and all this stuff. It's like, that's not even, you can't even make that make work numerically. The carbon footprint of homegrown foods is 5 times greater than produce from conventional agriculture. A study from the University of Michigan.
Because they're farmers, right?
Yeah. Looked at how much CO2 was produced when growing food in different types of urban farms.
Like, they can even do that.
And found that on average, a serving of food made from traditional farm creates 0.07 kilograms of CO2. The impact on the environment is almost 5 times higher at 0.34 kilograms per portion for individual gardens, such as vegetable patches or allotments. So the University of Michigan is trying to say that if you have a little farm in your urban, whether it's in your neighborhood or in your HOA or wherever it is, they're saying that that creates more carbon, when we all know that green plants sequester carbon.
Yeah. It's like the direct opposite. Yeah.
Plants grow by converting that into food.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, and then they want to tell you that some big ag farm
is going to be more holistic.
Yeah, it's
than more. Yeah, well, growing your own food.
Well, they're saying that a big ag farm is using less resources because they want to divide it out,
and that's not.
And it's just not even. Doesn't even make any. You can't make it make any sense.
Clown world.
And the majority of the emissions do not come from the growing of the foods themselves, the scientists say.
What?
The appeal to the scientists say, but from the infrastructure needed to allow the food to be grown. So so they're claiming that big ag doesn't use inordinate amounts of inordinate amounts of petroleum in their fertilizer infrastructure. They use petroleum products in their distribution.
Millions of dollars worth, millions, if not billions of dollars worth of equipment.
But somehow Johnny's backyard farm in New York City, his little garden, is going to produce more CO2.
What?
Researchers grouped urban agricultural sites into 3 categories: individual or family gardens, including allotments, collective gardens, such as community gardens, and larger commercial oriented urban farms. Jake Halls, a Piled High and Deep candidate, a PhD candidate at Michigan, and first author of the study,
good old Michigan,
said the most significant contributor to carbon emissions on the urban agriculture sites we studied was the infrastructure used to grow the food. From raised beds to garden sheds to pathways, these constructions had a lot of carbon invested in their construction.
Huh?
Check this out. Poorly managed compost. So now they're going to claim that compost, you know, and
this is the boogeyman.
And see, here's the thing. It's always partially true. Like a lot of this, especially this commercially generated compost, you can see Mike Adams did a documentary on called Biosludge, I think is what it's called. Mm-hmm. And it's all about these, it's mostly human waste and human manure embedded with forever chemicals and microplastics.
Yep.
And that's usually these poorly managed composts. But here's the thing.
That actually was on, we actually did a video about that. And that was up in Michigan too, where that guy used biosludge.
Yeah, that he used biosludge.
And the government was like, it's free. You can have it. And he was like, okay,
it's going to be great.
I'm a dum-dum. I'm going to take this free biosludge and pour it all over my property.
And now I just poisoned it in my property.
And then he's crying the blues because, you know, he has microplastics and everything. Yeah.
Poorly managed compost and other synthetic inputs can also be important contributors, though they are not the majority on most of our sites. Building raised beds and garden sheds contributed to higher levels of emissions. I'm supposed to believe that a raised garden bed is creating carbon. It is so obscene. The study published in the journal Nature Cities recruited 73 urban agriculture sites around the world, including Europe, US, UK, and conducted a comprehensive life cycle assessment on sites, infrastructure, irrigation, and supplies. And then it proceeds to just say all of this nonsense. Fruit was found to be 8.6 times more eco-friendly when grown conventionally compared to in a city, whereas vegetables were 5.8 times better for the environment when left to the professionals. You know, this appeal to scientism, this appeal to big science, this appeal to big ag, and they're so efficient and they're so effective at it. Mm-hmm. And it's so absurd and it's such bogus propaganda. Yeah.
Power control.
Yeah, so I want to, yeah, exactly. You know, we leave it to the experts, leave it to the technocratic oligarchy. Part of the problem with that is what happens when they only grow bugs for you to eat? You know, and then, well, I like that, but well, we don't think that that's right.
Or you got to stand in a bread line. Like, what the heck?
Yeah. And the bread's made out of crickets.
Yeah. Yeah. And the bread ain't even bread anymore.
So this comes from us via UMich. So this is from Michigan, University of Michigan. Right?
What the heck?
This is so this is the same study.
Yeah.
Oh, but okay. I wanted to go to the source, right?
Okay,
because this speaks to the postmodern deconstructionism is embedded and it starts and ends. Well, it doesn't start in the universities, but it's pervaded by the universities. And if you're wasting your time going to any of these universities, one, you're funding the beast.
Purple breathers.
You're funding the enemy.
Yeah.
Right. And you're paying these overinflated dollars, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's been subsidized by the government.
Yep.
And all these universities are too big to fail, even though they're closing and consolidating like crazy.
Yeah.
Right. Because people are waking up and are stopping going there. But
which is awesome.
Please.
Yeah.
Why would you send your children to these brainwashing propaganda camps? The University of Michigan, talk about having no credibility. And the University of Michigan is no different than any other university or college. They're all just,
they're all the same
blatant propaganda, and all of their research is funded by big whatever.
Yeah.
Either big government, big ag, big science, military industrial complex.
Pick your flavor of manure. Like literally.
But you can't, you know, it's just like if you work for the beast, right? If you work for the beast system and you're working for your pension or whatever,
you're just following orders.
Yeah. You are part of the problem.
Yeah.
You're part of the problem. A new University of Michigan-led international study finds that fruits and vegetables grown in urban farms and gardens have carbon footprints that is, on average, 6 times greater than conventionally grown produce. However, a few city-grown crops equaled or outperform conventional agriculture under certain conditions. Tomatoes grown in the soil of open-air urban plots had a lower carbon intensity than tomatoes grown on conventional greenhouses, while the emissions difference between conventional and urban agriculture vanished for air-freighted crops like asparagus. And they always weave in and out nonsense to make it sound like they're unbiased. And like,
yeah.
Oh, well, urban grown tomatoes were better, emitted less carbon.
Like, it's just a made up thing.
The whole entire thing.
The whole carbon thing is so, yeah.
And mommies and daddies are sending their brain dead little purple breathing kids here. And you want to know why your kid comes back a purple breather.
Yeah.
Is because you send them there. You want to know why your kid, rejects the way you raise them. I can't, just this past year, I can't even tell you how many people I've spoken with. I had a great customer. And he is very successful. Fascinating. He owned this company that made these airplane parts, and they were like centrifugal.
Wow.
Castings. So it used bronze, and it liquefied bronze, and it was in this casting that spins, and it creates these certain airplane parts. And and he was telling me about how him and his son ride dirt bikes together. Well, they used to, and they just started back again. And he was like, they had a big falling out. And I was like, what do you think caused that? He was like, oh, he went away to school and he came back a purple breather. And he went away to school. Him and his dad had a great relationship. They were tight. He came back a purple breather, and it took him like a half a decade to start to attempt to repair his great relationship that they had when they left. And he probably subsidized the destruction of his relationship with his son, right? By paying this idiotic price tag that they put on these.
It's more intense than ever nowadays.
Yeah, it's more. It's more and more propaganda.
Yeah.
It's more and more nonsense, and all of the NGOs and all the other agencies and all the other alphabet soups and. Yep. The ADL and all these other things are all intricately involved in all this nonsense. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that they're telegraphing here at University of Michigan is this is 15-minute city propaganda. We can't grow food in urban areas. I mean, how much in the past 30 years, y'all, and you think of Curtis Stone, urban farmer, right? And that's why he got out. He left and he was like, I see the handwriting on the wall. And he was like, they're coming after us and I'm done. I'm out.
Yep.
Right.
But Pete Canaris is another one.
Yeah. You think of all these
stalls, a lot of permaculture.
Yeah. And you think of all these great people that are involved in this space and are growing in more urban environments.
Massive amount.
And then there's all these other very little urban farms that are working with like foster kids. Yeah. And providing real value and real food.
Yeah.
And they are systematically getting ready to take this down. I mean, that's what, you can read the tea leaves. Like we've watched this stuff.
Do you think will they make it illegal or will they just carbon tax you for it?
They'll carbon tax you until you got to shut it down.
Until you got to shut it down.
So they'll just tax it out. That's the way they do it. And they get paid that way too. But, Club of Rome document 1970, they laid this whole thing out. How are we going to deconstruct Western society? Well, we're going to call it climate change or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have to save the planet. Now, this was in the 70s, y'all. Mm-hmm. We're in 2024 now. So we're 50 some years removed from that. But this whole Club of Rome, they created the World Economic Forum that started in 73. It was created by that Club of Rome document. It's all written down.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, none of this stuff is done in secret. That's what's weird. And that's what's crazy. And there's all these goofy weirdos that want to just like deny that, you're a conspiratard and, you must be a flat earther or whatever. And like, dude, they write this stuff down. They tell you what you're going to do. And then they telegraph it and stuff like this. Like, oh, urban gardens create more carbon than big ag. You know, and it's just like,
what?
That doesn't even make any sense.
No.
You know, and then, you know, PhDs like Jason Hall's a doctoral student at UM School of Environment and Sustainability.
And he goes to school and
they have a school for environment and sustainability. And it's that's just postmodern talking points. It's just like virtue signal.
Bunch of bull.
And then everybody that reads the article is like, this is pure propaganda. Yeah. Meanwhile,
everybody,
the Fed is subsidizing Jason Hall's doctoral PhD. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep.
Urban agriculture offers a variety of social, nutritional, and place-based.
What?
Place-based. Is that like,
what?
Is that, you can't say faith-based, you say place-based. Urban agriculture, place-based, is that is newspeak.
Dude, big time. That's a first.
Yeah.
Place.
Urban agriculture offers a variety. And this is 1984, y'all.
They
dumbed down the lexicon. Ooh. So one, it's the same thing. Who was talking about that? I think it was Bob Murphy, you know, about how they acronym everything. Mm. And that way you say the biggest thing by saying the least, and it's confusing, and then you just refer to the acronym. But this, somebody just wrote this in quotes. Yeah. Urban agriculture offers a variety of social, nutritional, and place-based environmental benefits, which make it an appealing feature of future sustainable cities. This work shines light on ways to ensure that urban agriculture benefits the climate as well as the people and places it serves. So before it would just be like, hey, you know, you want to help the environment, plant a tree.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's way more complicated than that. Mm-hmm. There's a really good chance that tree you plant creates a lot of carbon. You know,
it creates
that carbon. Shovel, that shovel you use to dig that hole.
What the heck? It is just off gassing.
Now apply this same notion to solar panels or wind turbines. All right. Checkmate, game over. Mm. Okay. You lose, but they don't do that.
Yeah.
But you know, this is a virtue signal. This is also a telegraph. They're telling you that they're coming after the urban gardeners.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yep. They have doctrinal proof here of like scholars and PhDs that have clearly proven this, right? That is being written about. And there's, you know, doctrinal theses being written on this trope. Mental,
like it's,
you know, and then the other half of the people that are at least rational and reasonable are like, all this stuff is propaganda and it's crazy.
Yep.
This is my point. These same people though, that'll echo and realize that this stuff is crazy. They'll send their kids to the University of Michigan,
sadly,
and they'll subsidize this nonsense. Mm. They'll pay the tuition.
Mm.
And you know, if you're doing that, you're part of the problem.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
You're feeding the beast.
Mm.
And you know, it's not like
sacrificing your kids to the beast.
Yeah. It's crazy. Yeah. Well, no, you're funding the system.
Yeah.
That's going to pull the food right out of your own mouth.
Yep. Yep.
And you know, it's just, maybe we'll get into this whole NFL, you know, just this past week, the NHL, which is hockey, right? Okay. All these sports ball things, you know, first off, professional sports is postmodern deconstructionism at its greatest. These professional leagues are propaganda arms of the military industrial complex. Right. And it's all like, but my soldiers and all this great stuff and my American flag. And they spend billions of dollars to fly F-16s over and do all of this phony patriotic hooey gooey, whatever.
Feel good stuff.
And then in between, you know, I mean, the NFL has been worshiping Satan at the Super Bowl since I've been alive.
Mm.
Okay. And then now they have this, the NFL is gay thing.
Whoa.
Right. And it's just like, when are, okay, first off, when are all Christians just going to denounce this trash and nonsense and stop participating and being part of the process? When are Christians, but I mean, you have non-Christian people that are just moral and they're just like, yeah, I stopped watching that junk.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many people that aren't even Christians will be like, yeah, I stopped watching that propaganda. Mm-hmm. I remember when they were pushing Obamacare and the Baltimore Ravens and all that trash. And I'm like, I can't take this propaganda. But, you know, when are people going to stop participating? And when are they going to stop being part of the problem? And, you know, what they used to say is like, oh, I don't want to hear your political commentary. I just want to listen to your beautiful music. Or I just want to zone out during the football game. You know, I'm just trying to enjoy this is like my zone out time or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's no longer that.
Yeah. And you know, now you got hockey teams wrapping their sticks in rainbow tape. Right. Mm. And you have a couple guys that stand up and say anything, but look, they're on the hook for millions of bucks. They're not going to quit.
No.
They're not going to quit.
They're not going to say no to that.
Yeah. And then now this stuff with the NFL, they just, you know, they're showing you their true colors. Yep. Their true colors are the inverted rainbow flag. Mm. And that's their true colors. And that's who they are. Yep. And when are you going to stop facilitating and participating and funding it? When are we? And that, I mean, that's to Christians. That's to everybody.
Everybody. Well,
exclusively, when are Christians going to stop participating? We can act all pragmatic, and this is a gray area. That's made off of the idols. And that's not that, you know, nobody should make you a difference of a holy day and the Sabbath and the new moons. But they don't read the rest of that chapter, by the way, or the very next verse. Same thing with the meat offered to idols. And they use these terrible biblical references that are ripped out of context and twisted to, it's just same thing for abortion and Moloch worship and all of this stuff. It's the same thing. It's the same thing for women pastors and all this stuff. And it's all postmodern. It's all Frankfurt School. It's all critical theory. That's where it all started, and it trickles down, and it's postmodern. It's the postmodern versions. It's all of it. It's all tied together. The reason I come back to the same handful of things is it's all completely and utterly tied together, you know, and Vody Bachum said, you can't send your kids to Rome and to be educated and expect them to not come back Romans. And that's just the reality. And don't even send them to these quote unquote Christian schools and Christian universities, because the terrible thing about Christian schools, I say that term loosely, and Christian universities, is they were like, we want to do just like what everybody else does, except we want to do it with a Christian veneer,
Christianese,
and we want to be culturally relevant, you know, and you know, we're in the world, but not of the world, but we want to be as much like the world as we could possibly be.
Ride the line.
So that, you know, and if we just be pragmatic enough, you know, that'll somehow spread the gospel or something. And it's just completely false. And you know what? Real people say, like, you're fake, dude. That junk's fake. Your whole thing's fake. And it really is. And we are approaching, and me and my wife talk about this all the time. And I've been saying this for 3 years now. We are approaching, for Christians, okay? If you're not a Christian, disregard what I'm saying. For Christians, we are approaching a day where this pragmatic, this Americana, this pragmatic, this excuse, make an excuse for everything that is worldly and everything. Well, this is cultural.
Yeah.
Make all these cultural stuff and, you know, when it comes to whether it's clothing or whether it's your hairdo or whether it's just like effeminate men.
Yeah.
The whole effeminate men thing is the most mind boggling thing to me, is because there's nothing clearer in scripture than where effeminate men go. And so, like, if I read that and I'd be like, okay, so, goal one for 2024, don't be effeminate. And I'm going to practice that. Like, I'm going to eat less soy. I'm going to purposefully lower my voice. I'm going to wear better loose fitting clothing.
I'm going to work out.
I'm going to work out. I'm going to do some push-ups. I'm going to high speak and up talk and do all these other things. And I'm going to do everything I can to sound like a man and not sound like a woman. And I'm going to
walk like a man.
I'm going to walk like a man. I'm going to talk like a man. That's what that whole song was about being a tranny or whatever. Check that out. But anyway,
do what? I never heard that. Song.
I'm thankful. I'm very thankful, son. I've raised you well. But you know, I could go on a really long rant here.
Yeah. And it's vice versa for women too.
And it is vice versa. And this is
the same thing. Be more feminine.
Fourth or fifth wave feminism or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing. And all these women are just, they're so stuck on working and wearing pants.
But you were going to say to your point that you were going to say about getting persecuted.
Oh
yeah.
Oh yeah.
I'm trying to keep your train of thought. I got
completely distracted.
I know.
Yeah. We are quickly approaching. If you are a born again child of God, if you are a new creature.
Yeah.
If you are a new creature, there are lots of professors. And when I'm not talking about the University of Michigan.
Hey, professor.
I'm not talking about the University of Michigan again. I'm not talking about PhDs. I'm talking about there are lots of professing Christians. You know, Christ said, you will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord. And he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Didn't we do all these things in your name, Lord? Like we did all these things. We did all these Christian things, right? Yeah. We did all these Christian things in your name. He'll say, depart from me, for I never knew you, right? And, you know, he says, I never knew you. He's like, I knew you, but you did something wrong. So then I forgot who you were. No. He said, I never knew you because if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, right? Old things are passed away. Doesn't mean you're sinlessly perfect, right? Nope. We all still battle with this flesh, but there is coming a day when this pragmatic appeal to culture, like it's like this Christian get out of jail free card with anything. When you refuse to live anti-culture,
will you say, no, I'm not going to bow down to the golden idol? That's when it, you know.
Well, you, Matt, you got to understand the culture of that day. They weren't really worshiping. They were just bowing down.
They're bowing down to,
you know, they're not really worshiping Satan.
Idol.
They're not really worshiping Satan at the Super Bowl halftime show. It's not really worshiping Satan, say, and we got to be entertained. We got to be amused so that we stop thinking. We got to be debauched. You know, we got to watch the Bud Light cheerleaders and then the satanic ceremony, because, you know, apple pie and grandma and NFL and USA and the Marine Corps and Semper Fi. No, it's pragmatic nonsense. There is coming a day. It's going to remove all the excuses, because what's going to happen is, if you are going to, you know, there's plenty of, like I said, there's plenty of professing Christians. And then there's plenty of this larger evangelical, whatever, where their Jesus is a different Jesus.
Yeah.
It's Maitreya, right? It's the Willie Nelson hippie Jesus that's coming back on a unicorn, giving out Skittles. Yep.
Love is
and
love.
Gummy bears.
Yeah.
Right. And, you know, that Jesus is coming back with some woman prophetess. Right. That's going to preach the love is love gospel. And it's going to be preached by some woman in a pair of pants.
Yeah. Or transgender.
And I know I'm not going to get a lot of, I'm not going to get a lot of love on this.
No, you're not. Definitely
this is
not.
Real. This is real, y'all. Just keeping it real. And it just had some burr stuck in my saddle. But there's coming a day. Where this whole,
all the excuses,
pragmatic appeal to culture. I just have so many terrible, you know, you try to have good discussions during the week, you know, with professing people that profess to be Christians, right? And they go to these churches with their smoke machines and their blue lights and the sanctuaries painted black and all this stuff. And then they want to explain why their rock concert is, you know, well, it's culture, you know, like, well, I'm like, what makes you think that God wants you to worship him like that? Like where in the Bible are you supposed to like
rock out,
take a, mimic a rock concert and change the words a little bit.
Just a little bit.
And that's honoring to God. Like, yeah, that all happened when that all happened when Moses was bringing the Ten Commandments down off the mount. He heard the sound of war in the camp, and they were having their own, and it was culturally relevant to their cultural period, and it wasn't really cool, and it didn't end well.
No.
And it's the exact same thing, but like all these new age ecumenical Christians, it's like, you know, but my culture and my appeal to culture, but okay. I digress. Crazy rant. Are we taking a break?
Yeah, we can take a break. Let's go ahead and take a break.
I wish I brought something. All right, verse of the day, y'all. Now, in light of all this climate change and, you know, aerosolized injections, high altitude aerosolized injections, you know, we talked about chemtrails and all these different things. I do want to reinforce the fact that Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. So we have a stated fact here in Genesis 8:22 that cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Yeah, y'all. They jack with it. Ye shall be as gods. They want to be gods. They want to play God. They want to mess with the environment. They want to mess with the DNA. Yep. They want to destroy everything that God has created. God created a beautiful system that as we interact with it, it produces abundance. They hate that.
Yeah, every little thing on this earth reflects God in
they
nature. That's why they can't look at themselves in the mirror. That's why they have to pierce themselves, tattoo themselves, and everything.
Oh, see, yeah, but no, we have all these pragmatic reasons for why Christians can do that too. Can get sleeve art and tattoo Bible verses on yourself because you know, culturally, you know, that's relevant in our culture.
Because not relevant.
That would be just like some made up story, some history book or whatever, some postmodern history book, you know, and temple prostitutes and blah, blah, blah. And it's just, you know, it's how we're here. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm ranting again. I'm sorry. But Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. But there is coming a day when this world as we know it will melt with fervent heat. That's because Jesus is coming back.
The ultimate.
He's not happy. Change. When he comes back, he's not going to be happy. He will not be riding a unicorn or a Pegasus, and he's not coming back with gummy bears or any of that stuff. Okay. But until then, while the earth remaineth seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. And I say that to all these technocratic scumbags that are trying to change that. And that won't happen.
No.
And I will, you know, obviously recognize that. But that's the verse of the day. Awesome. So that's something to meditate on. And that's why I'm going to keep planting fruit trees. Awesome. I'm going to encourage you to get your food forest in a box. Act now. And we have a new sponsor. I had somebody very relatively speaking local to us. I'm not going to say anything yet because I don't have all the specifics. Yeah. Very exciting.
Super cool.
Looking forward to that.
Yeah.
It's going
to
be
so cool. We want to go ahead and jump into our last segment. Viewer mail.
Viewer mail. Okay. Where did I put that?
All right. It's going to be down there.
Oh yeah. You told me. Okay. So viewer mail. Hover. So I'm going to shrink this.
Yeah.
I'm going to hover. And then there it is.
Levitate.
Okay. Okay. This comes from user. You know, this weird thing that YouTube does where on one screen, it'll have something. And then on the other screen, it has the at. So this comes from user-VX4RK9PJ2W.
Wow.
Thanks, buddy. It's probably like Bobby or something if you look on the other screen. I don't know how all this stuff works.
Okay, gotcha. Interesting.
But if this is you, Bobby, we were talking about Michael and I.
Michael and I.
So we were making an Obama reference.
Yeah, we didn't get that on the soundboard yet.
And we're going to get that on the soundboard. I did find it. I thought it got scrubbed from the internet. But
it was kind of weird. There.
We found it. It was hard to find.
Yeah, it's kind of weird.
Michael and I.
Michael and I.
So user XVVX4 and so forth and such as says, Michael, one of three theories I have regarding who is installed on 120/25. I may have asked you this before, TD, but how about doing a podcast on the lizard people? I have my own take, demons.
Nice.
Would like to hear yours. By the way, dude, you're smarter than you realize. You have volumes of IYKYK.
If you know, you know.
If you know, you know, packed in your melon. Be blessed. Jesus rules. Well, I completely agree with that. So, okay. So regarding lizard people and demons, you know, and now there is some truth to that. Some of that is like, you know, some of this stuff in modern day Christianity, and I absolutely believe that the sons of God saw the daughters of men they're fair to look upon, and they took them wives, and that created giants, and there was giants also after that. So I'm not into this whole godly line of Seth thing, because, you know, and the sons of Anak and the Canaanites, and that was all part of why Israel was sent in to clean out the land, and it had a lot to do with those giants, and they were men of renown. Okay. But like a lot of this lizard people and David Icke, I mock it. You know, we have a t-shirt that says, well, like, stop the lizard people. And it's got like lizard people on it, and it is funny. And I kid because I care. The lizard people are, they're of their father, the devil, but it's not just the technocrats and the oligarchs that are want to enslave humanity. It's all lost people. You know, there isn't like worse lost people. Well, there are, you know, there are,
sure,
you know, some people carve their own spot out in hell. The Bible talks about that too. But it's easy to the charismatics are like real big into like, I used to go, the one gym I used to go to, there were these charismatic meatheads in there, right? And they're like, yeah, oh dude, I'm getting ready, bro. When the battle comes, I'm going to have like this two-edged Conan sword. I'm going to be lopping off, you know, and they really think, you know, and then you have these other,
they were training.
Yeah. They're training for Armageddon, which, like, hey man, read your Bible. Like, we don't even do anything. You know, all Jesus has to do is speak, right? It's, you know, you act like he's like
physically gonna be,
you act like he's like powerless, and your massive biceps are gonna do something. I mean, it's so foolish. But you know, a lot of charismatics, they do that kind of stuff. That's, you know, funny. And these same charismatics are involved in all this paranormal stuff. You know what I mean? Where you get all of this, Nephilim, you know, you get all this stuff where they mix everything together, and it really becomes like this jack chick kind of comic booky Christianity that are devils real? Yes.
Yes.
Do devils possess people?
Yes.
Can devils possess people and they have superhuman strength?
Yes.
So 100%. All these things happen.
Yeah. Like that guy that got shot like 9 times.
Yeah. Do their,
that was crazy.
Do their pupils mutate? Maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
There's a lot of things. Yeah.
So there are lots of factors. But I'll say this, it's not as comic booky as everybody wants, as the charismatics want to paint it to be. It's not that comic booky. And I'll leave it as that. I'll leave it at that. But that's our viewer mail.
Viewer mail. There you go.
And thank you, user K4YG34 or Bob. Thanks, Bob.
There you go. So if y'all have any questions, just go ahead and leave them.
You can leave them on the Fountain app.
Fountain app.
If you're listening on your podcatcher, please leave us a 5-star review or leave us a 1-star review.
Hey,
maybe I really upset you. And my rant really upsets you. So leave a 1-star review.
There you go.
Whatever works for you.
Whatever.
Whatever makes it float your boat.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, we're pragmatists here. We just want to get along with everybody. and if you are a Christian and you are incredibly discouraged in the modern, postmodern, post-Christian world that we live in, I hope this encourages you a little bit, you know,
yeah,
that not everybody, wants to flow down the sewer pipe.
No.
All right. Not everybody wants to be a kernel of corn in the sewer pipe. Right. Some of us want to be anti culture. This culture is anti-Christ. So if you're anti-culture, you're anti-antichrist. What's that mean? That means you're of Christ. So the only real way to be of Christ is to be anti-culture, because this culture is exclusively anti-Christ.
Yeah, super wicked.
And you know, these seven pillars of dominionism, it's all hoaxy, man. Like Tim Pool's doing the same thing. And try to listen to his trash for more than five seconds if you enjoy listening to things like the F word. And, you know, well, they're cool, man, and we're making music, and I'm bald. And it's, you know, it's just so, it's so frustrating. And we're going to change the culture, but I'm not going to get married to a woman and have kids like him and his whole tribe. Like, dude, find a chick and get married and have kids. I'm going to change the culture by riding a skateboard and saying the F word. Yeah. And I mean, you know, there's so many people that are just, before it's too late is for real. Yeah. But anyway, I'm not going to keep ranting, y'all.
Yeah.
This has been a rant.
This is a little bit of a longer episode too.
This is like pre my mellow days when you know, I've been practicing Parhesia. I want more people to like me. I want to be more likable. I want to be like a fuzzy teddy bear.
No, I don't want you to be a fuzzy teddy bear.
I was going to change my name from TD to TB and just be like a teddy bear. Not tuberculosis, but like teddy bear.
Teddy Roosevelt.
Teddy Roosevelt. Oh, the Bull Moose Progressive.
Golly.
Yeah, there you go. All right. All right, Matt, anything else?
That's it.
Well, let's sign off. Hey, y'all. Remember, stay fearless, my friends.